Thank you for doing that.
Good morning.
Morning.
It looks like we had a partial rapture. We're not going there.
This is the faithful few.
Yeah, these are the good ones here. Okay, if you would take your study sheet and look at Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to tackle verses 6 through 21. And I would like to have two people volunteer to read here. I'd like to have one person volunteer to read verses 6 through 14, and then the second person read verses 15 through 21. 6 through 14, Dave, and 15 through 21. Jeannie, okay.
Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sins of sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to do what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.
Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk on wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Okay, thank you. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you this morning and come to these words, this passage in Ephesians, and we do so humbly. We come with thanksgiving for you and for what you do in our lives. And just pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts, open our minds to the words and the meaning of the words, and trust that this would be a fruitful time as we study together. May you indeed do the teaching. We pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, verses 6 and 7. These are verses that we touched on last week. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. The term the sons of disobedience is a scriptural term for those who are not saved. They're children of disobedience. That is their scriptural description. And verse 7 clarifies that and says to us, therefore do not become partners with them. And we talked a little bit about this, about what it might mean to become partners with them. But to become partners with them certainly includes doing the kinds of things that they do, joining with them. And boy, I'll tell you, in this culture, in this society, it is so easy to get sucked into this. It is just everywhere. So these words are very strong and very relevant to our world today. So let's take a look at the questions here and look up some of these references, because the truth of these scripture verses is often woven throughout the whole of the Word of God, and so I've just nailed some of them down here and said let's take a look at these because they support this. So be warned about what risk. Let no one deceive you with empty words, and the word empty literally means hollow. Let no one deceive you with hollow words. Because of these, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. And Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. Would somebody read those two verses? And someone else could be looking up Colossians 2:8 and 1 John 4:1. Matthew 24:4.
Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you."
Yep. So that admonition is woven throughout the scriptures to make sure that you do not allow anyone to deceive you. And the deception, as Paul has written here in the letter to the Ephesians, is the deception of hollow words that deceive you about how the wrath of God is coming. So, I mean, that's the context of this verse. Matthew 24:24.
For false Christ and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect.
Yes, and that is Matthew chapter 24 is a passage that deals with the last days. I mean, the very last days. This would be during the time of the day of the Lord. But he is saying here that the deception that Satan throws at the world is here already, but it is going to increase and increase and increase. And as you get into the scriptures and look at the passages that deal with the last days, just before Christ comes, these false prophets are going to arise, and they are going to do miracles. They are going to pour out deception. And those last words in Matthew 24:24 are really sobering. The deception is going to be so good that if it were possible, what would happen? Even the believers in that day would be deceived. The good news is, it says, if it were possible. And the reason why that is true, of course, is because the indwelling Holy Spirit will always convict you of things that are in error and wrong. And even when someone stands up and does miracles and in effect hollows out the gospel, true believers are going to understand it. But the scripture says there, if it were possible. In other words, it is going to be so deceptive, so powerful. It's going to be almost impossible to not believe it. But, and we have that now. I like to think of the days that we are living in right now, and I believe we're coming very close to the end, but I believe the days that we live in right now are a warm-up. The wickedness and the things that you see that are happening, I mean, my goodness, we see violence, and it's like as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end times. And so if you look back in Genesis, in the run-up to chapter 6, you see that the earth was filled with violence. Well, that's what's happening today, right? I mean, you can't pick up the paper or the news or anything without seeing violence, and you see it everywhere. And some of it is just mindless. That particular case of the boy who just went out and started shooting, and he killed people, and he said, "Well, I just felt like I wanted to know what it felt like." Well, what wickedness! And the more you see that, the more you realize how close we are getting to the end, because that's the description that the Word of God gives us. It's going to get worse and worse and worse.
You know, Bill, even this week when the lady at Kroger got stabbed, you know, all the things bother you, all the stuff you hear everywhere, but that one just struck me even more so. Just a nice lady doing her job, loves people, they loved her for absolutely no reason. I can't get out of my mind, an innocent person doesn't deserve that.
Yep.
Yep. Was a safe community and peaceful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the Lord will keep a hedge of protection, and I've said this before, and I just encourage you to pray that the Lord would put a hedge of protection around you and your family. And that was written back in Job, thousands of years ago. And Satan, when he came to give an account of what he was doing, when he came to the Lord, and the Lord said, "Well, what do you think about my servant Job?" And what was his reply? "Well, sure, he'll serve you because you put a hedge around him, and I can't touch him." And I said, "Yes, Lord, do that." I mean, folks, there is evil in this world. Powers, magistrates, as it says later on in Ephesians 6, you can't fight against them.
No.
The Holy Spirit can fight against them. Just pray that God would put that hedge around you and your family. And my guess is that we won't know fully just how much the Lord has protected us until we get there to be with Him. And then we can thank Him directly. But I tell you what, I thank Him every day for that. I just pray that the Lord would keep that hedge about our family. And verse 6 says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." Now there's a little bit of uncertainty, if I could use that, in verse 6. "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." The question is, does these things refer back to the empty words, or does it refer back to what preceded it? And I personally think it is a reference to, because of these things, in verses 3, but do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you, as is proper among saints, and there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral, and that word immoral is porneia, and I remember we were doing a Bible study one time with Russ Moore, and Russ, pastor at the time, and he gave his commentary on that word porneia. He said porneia is the Greek word that is like the garbage dump for the whole scripture. Porneia is everything. It's all the stuff you can think of that is sexually immoral. It falls into that porneia. Whatever it is, anything you can think of, things I don't even want to talk about, things that are just evil and wicked, and that's what he's talking about here. You know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is in idolatry has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, and I think that's what he's referring to, because of these things, what's going to happen? The wrath of God. The wrath of God is coming, and it's coming on people that are in that camp. If you ever want to do a study for either for yourself or if you're in a small group or whatever, if you ever want to understand, get a better picture of the wrath of God, the wrath of God is just horrible, just absolutely horrible. But if you look on my website, you can find a study and one of the prophecy studies that talks about the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is a technical term. It's not just talking about any old day. The day of the Lord is a specific time when God's wrath is going to be poured out on this world. And if you want, and it's woven all through the scriptures. I've got, I think there's 2 pages of references that I have copied and put on the sheet and put some little codes in there so you can understand what it's saying. But if you haven't looked at that recently, that reads right on top of this verse, because he is saying, Paul is saying here in this verse, that people that live this lifestyle, they are headed for the wrath of God, and there are people that are going to come out with empty, hollow words that tell everybody, hey, you're fine. You're fine. It doesn't matter whether you're worshiping Buddha or Muhammad or whatever. I mean, we're all going to the same place. It's just different ways to get there. Hollow words, folks. Hollow words. Jim.
So many of the people I associate with, let's say on a daily basis, fit that description. Am I supposed to just be friends with them?
If you're in the world, it's just not to be there. Jim, that is an excellent question, and I would I'll do the Archer Shuffle. But I'll tell you what I think there are 2 verses that kind of describe that. Number one is what it says right here, don't be partners with them. So when they go in that direction, or when there's coarse jesting, when the language just kind of goes off the rails, you know, and there's all kinds of filthiness involved, you just don't get involved in it. Just don't be partners with them. There's that. So you are to be separate from them, but at the same time, the scripture says, always be ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So don't be partners with them. If you have a chance, rebuke them if that's appropriate, but always be ready to give an answer. So I guess there's the two. But a good question, very good question. It's one that we all wrestle with at some point or another. I can remember some times when I was really struggling with that, because I had some people that I was working with that I really liked, but boy, conversation would go off the rails in a hurry. Anybody else have any thoughts on that?
Well, our position that we should be a witness to those people, and Jesus ate with the tax collectors.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, but just don't partake in what they're doing and right. Laugh at their jokes or whatever.
Right. How you do that is uniquely individual. The situation, you. In your situation, know better how to do that than I would in your situation, and vice versa. Dorothy?
My husband used to have a wonderful expression, God called us to be fishers of men, and that means you don't throw your line out in an aquarium. You have to be out there in the ocean to be with us.
That's a good one. In an aquarium.
there's two things related. When I was at IBFW, I had 76 people reported to me. They knew from the beginning, don't you swear in front of me, don't you tell dirty strokes in front of me. So, and that went on for 16 years. On the other hand, some of the managers that worked for me, most of whom were Christians, told me, you wouldn't believe what I hear when you're not there.
Yeah.
So you can only take it so far, but at least you can clean up what you have wrecked.
Right. Mm-hmm. And very often, and that's a very good point, when the scripture says here, don't become partners with them, generally speaking, when you fulfill that, it is a testimony, and they will recognize that you're just not participating, and it kind of puts the brakes on it.
There's another side to that story, and this is to the Lord's credit, not mine. In the last year I was there, I was formally accused of sexual harassment, not with a female, but with a guy that was a supervisor that I did not know was gay, and who was Jewish, so I was also accused of religious harassment, which was hilarious. And I had to endure for 6 months an examination and keep my mouth shut, you know, and all that other stuff, formal procedure. The lady who was in charge of HR and I had a conversation, and we were good friends, and she said, don't worry, I know you know the Lord and you're a good person. So after 16 years, that carried through. Who did the Lord appoint to the commission? A pastor from downtown who was a black fellow, and he led the investigation. And he never talked to me about it. And afterward, he said, "You know, the Lord was leading me, don't you?" the Lord takes care of it. He really does.
Absolutely.
You just gotta lean on Him hard.
Absolutely.
Wasn't that horrible to go through?
It strengthens your faith. that's for sure. Yeah, it was later I was told by a compatriot of mine who had the same position over at Ivy Tech that this guy had pulled the same game over there, and the judge had thrown the book at him when he took it to court. So I didn't know at the time until after it was all over, and then my friend over there told me about this situation. Yeah, but I didn't know that. I did know this guy was way off. I mean, I had to warn him once because he was messing around with taking girls home from the help desk and stuff like that. And I said, Jim, that is not a good age. You can't be doing that as a supervisor. And I didn't know he was gay at the time. If I didn't know he was gay, I might not have said it.
Okay, Colossians 2:8. Does somebody have that one?
Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ.
Yep, there's a description that Paul gave to the church at Colossae about empty words. Just full of deceit. 1 John 4:1.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world.
I think I've told this story before, but I used to do a lot of traveling when I was dating. And I would be on the road, so I was dialing in on the radio, and there's a lot of Christian pastors, and this was one of the things that came out. There are false prophets everywhere. You have to listen. And to tell you the truth, it was actually several days of listening to this individual on the radio before I found the error. Somebody told me one time early in my career that the devil is perfectly happy to hide a thimbleful of error in a lake of truth. He will talk truth and truth and truth so that you are sucked in, and he then inserts the error. Beware of that. Beware of that. Okay. At one time, we were part of them. Look at verses 7 and 8. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, I found an interesting reference in my study for this lesson, something that I had never noticed before, at least it hadn't sunk in. But the word darkness, if you do a search for the word darkness, the reference that comes up is in Exodus, and it is when the children of Israel, when Moses was standing before Pharaoh and said, "Let my children go," and he wouldn't, and you remember there were plagues that were poured out? One of the plagues was darkness, but the interesting thing is it says it was darkness that could be felt. Now, just think of that. Darkness that could be felt. What do you think that means?
You just feel the evil.
It was filled with evil.
You have a conscience.
Yes. So I guess the point is here, it was darkness. It wasn't like if we turned off all the lights here. That's not what it is. It's darkness that is being felt because it is satanic, it is evil, it is wickedness, and it just burdens your heart. Sometimes you just hear, but notice in this, in verse 8, you, the believers, you and me, were formerly what? Darkness. So dark you could feel it. You were formerly darkness, and I notice also, and the language here is very specific. You were darkness. It doesn't say you were in darkness. Mm-hmm. It says you were what? You were darkness. And for those of us who have placed our trust in Christ, we have become light, is what this verse says in the next part of it. But can you just think back to the days before you trusted Christ? Just let your mind kind of run back there to who you were, what you were before. It's darkness. Shoot, I used to go to church every Sunday. I sang in the choir. And I'm glad for this verse that says, make melody in your heart, because it wasn't so good in my mouth. But the wickedness was just consuming. It, in my life, I can look back at that, and I was in that church every Sunday. I had a robe. I had the candle lighter thing, the acolyte. I was there, man. And I listened to the reading of the scripture every Sunday morning. And I had no idea what it said. Nothing. Darkness. Verse 8, and you were formerly darkness. That tells you that Paul is writing to whom? He's writing to believers. That's the only one on the planet, only person on the planet that can be written to there. You were formerly darkness. Because if you haven't been saved, you still are darkness. You were formerly darkness, but now, after your salvation, but now you are light in the Lord. And if you are light in the Lord, walk like it. And the word walk in Scripture means what? Live. The way you live. It's the way you live. Live like it. Walk like it. Well, let's see if we can answer these questions. Actually, do something in order here. What is the fruit of light? What are we to discern or learn in verses 9 and 10? The fruit of light.
Pleases the Lord.
Right. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. I remember in the early days after I got saved, and I was reading through scriptures, and I came across verses like this, and we'll look at some other ones here, and it was like, you mean you got to learn this? you don't just know it? And the answer is no. You don't just know it, you got to learn it. So let's take a look at this. What is the fruit of light, and what are we to discern? Galatians 5:22. When you trust Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the source of light within us. Galatians 5:22.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness.
The fruit of the Spirit, that is the gift of life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You got to learn it. You got to learn it. And you got to practice it. Some people are going to have more trouble with some of these things, some of these gifts than others. Some people, for instance, are very quick-tempered. Before you were saved, maybe you were just noted as being one that had a short fuse. And for that person, the thing that is most difficult is this last one. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Maybe that's not the area that you need to work on. Maybe it's faithfulness. Maybe it's kindness. Maybe it's patience. If you have a short fuse, maybe you need to work on patience. The Holy Spirit who indwells us will give us this fruit if we allow Him to do it. If we just pray for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We just pray for that. Philippians 1:9, 10, and 11.
And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, the glory and praise of God.
Yes, learn what is the will of God. Learn what is the will of God. I can remember, probably you can too, times when either in Bible studies or sermons or whatever, people would talk about finding the will of God. Do you know the will of God for your life? And boy, I've seen all kinds of things that will help you in that direction. But you know what? To know the will of God, you have to know this. This book is the will of God. And He will tell you on every page. And what I have found, and probably you can recognize this also, have you ever noticed that sometimes when you're doing your devotions or studying it, that sometimes, and I know it wasn't there before, but there are words that are about this big and they're in red. Have you ever noticed that? That's when the Lord is talking to you. And the words are in italics and big bold. That's when you begin to know what the will of the Lord is. It's in this book. You want to know what he wants out of your life, read the book. He will convict you. He will show you what he wants to have in your life. So let's take a look at this next one, and this is going to deal a little bit with the question that we had before. Why are we to take no part in the works of darkness? Look at verses 11 and 12. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. So, what does exposing by the light do? We are to take no part in the works of darkness. That's what verses 11 and 12 say. Verse 11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Now, that's the same thing he said before, in a little different words. Do not partner with them. Do not become partners with them. And here he clarifies that even further. He says, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. And give me some examples of how you could be participating with the unfruitful works of darkness. What are some illustrations of that? Perhaps things that you have seen in your environment, in business or in the family or whatever.
Like you said last week, be careful what you laugh at. I think that's probably one of the easy ones to get sucked into.
That one has really stuck with me. It's really stuck with me because I find over and over again, and kind of with ignorance, until I started thinking about what you laugh at. That's a real test. That's a real test. And where you're probably going to find it in spades is when you watch the boob tube. You know? There was a show that we hadn't seen for a while, so we thought we'd try that one. And it only took about 7 minutes, more or less. And you couldn't watch that show without laughing. But then you stop to look at it and say, well, what am I laughing at here? I'm laughing at the fact that this person is deceived and they're wicked, and what they're talking about is wicked, and I'm laughing at it?
There's a lot of those that are even subtle. Like, I should put down men by women. You say, hey, what's really going on here? It's not funny.
Yep.
You're showing to put down men, you don't need them.
Yep. I'll tell you what. If you go back to Genesis, where Satan tempted Eve, one of the things that has always just absolutely astounded me when I think of that is how clever it was. I mean, his words were only like two sentences. And with that, he just destroyed all of us. If you underestimate him, you're going to fall. He is clever and deceitful, and he hides it like a thimble in a lake. But it's there. You just have to have your eyes open and say, I will not participate in that. Because one of the things that happens is when you participate in it, it sows that in your heart, and the next time it just seems okay. It just seems like, well, everybody's doing that. And it comes at you from every direction. Comes at you in. And that's why it is so important that we fill ourselves with the words of a book like Ephesians. And by the way, Paul is going to get real personal here. He's going to talk about marriage between a husband and a wife and how that's supposed to work. And then he's going to talk about family, mom and dad and children, and how that's supposed to work. And if you look in Romans chapter 13, he's going to talk about how it's supposed to work between us as believers and our government. I mean, it's all here. If you want to know what the will of the Lord is, it's here. It's in this book. And I'm so thankful for the Lord leading to have us study in Ephesians, because I don't know how you feel about it, but there's a lot of this that is really convicting. It is just staggering how in this culture today we are being trained to accept unrighteousness. It's just coming at us, and everybody is doing it. Boy, do not deceive. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Those are not just empty commands that Paul just thought, well, I just throw that in there. It was incredibly relevant in the day that Paul wrote this to the church at Ephesus, and it is just as incredible, if not more so, today than it was then. You and I are under attack. And that's what Paul is going to say when we get to chapter 6. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the powers, the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's where our battle is taking place. And you would do well to not underestimate them. They are incredibly powerful and subtle. They have learned over the last 5,000 years how to manipulate people and make sure that you buy into the lies. So, these are works of darkness. Expose them. It is shameful to even speak of their secret stuff. Did somebody look at Revelation 18:4? And somebody else look up Luke chapter 12, verse 2. Okay, so there is an instruction that is given to the people that are living in the end times, but the instruction is just as clear to us. Come out from her, that is this sinful, wicked government and everything that's involved in the final days. Come out from among her, lest you be partakers of what? Her sins, her judgment. In other words, I used to have a guy in our church that said was talking about something, and there was a prominent person in the news, and he said, "Well, I wouldn't want to stand too close to them in case I get hit with the lightning." And you know, it was true what he was saying. It isn't the lightning that's going to hit, but in Revelation 18:4, that's exactly what the Lord is saying there. You, believer, are to come out and be separate from them because you don't want to be caught in the judgment that's going to come on them. So, while it may not be a stroke of lightning, there are some judgments that are going to come upon the unbelievers that are you don't want to be standing too close. Come out from among them. Be separate. That one of the things that I have learned as I have studied the Word and kind of looked for what is the will of the Lord, it is this. God wants His children to be separate from the world. You're in the world, but you're not part of the world. You have to be separate from that world system, that evil that's in there, the subtleness. Just come out. And for those of us who would refuse to come out, the warning is very clear. You're likely to get caught in the judgment that's going to come on them.
I know you're going to find this hard to believe, but when I was a child, I spent a lot of time grounded and in punishment of some kind. And my dad would always cause guilt by association and passive acceptance. He would say those things to me all the time because frequently I had not done whatever we were all punished for. But, you know, you think about that. What people see is what they think, and what God sees is what He thinks. And how we participate in some things makes us guilty in the sin.
Yep. Yep. Well, I'll tell you, you know, if we didn't go any further in this than where we are right now, there's a lot of food for thought here. A lot of food for thought. Examine yourself. Bob?
There's an additional side to what Marty was talking about and that I noticed in years of work, and I'm sure you did too. If you do not say anything, let alone don't go and participate, you basically, if they know you're a Christian, are sanctioning it, and they take encouragement from
you. Yeah, yep, yep. But you are giving passive approval.
Yeah. It's really true right now, right? Like, it's really true. Because people are afraid to say anything because you don't know when you're going to get sued, things thrown at you, cussed at, hit, whatever.
Yeah.
Hold on, I have one other thing. I mentioned this last week, and I'll mention it again because I saw it again in some communication at campus ministry. Students are hurting. They're noticing this. They're not liking being this way, and they're looking for counseling almost on a daily basis. So keep praying. Just keep praying. They're getting convicted.
Well, one of the side lessons from this is lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white unto harvest. When things get more and more wicked, there's more and more option to testify and to lead people to Christ. So, thanks for that reminder, Bob, and let's just pray that the Lord will continue to use this word to change our hearts so that we can be better fit to serve Him. Father, I come to you this morning with just a thankful heart for what you have done and are doing in my life and in the lives of my family and in the lives of our friends and in this church. I just thank you, Lord, for the grace that comes from your word. May the Spirit of God indeed apply the word and use it to encourage us in righteousness, to live as children of light. We are your children. Let's live like it. May you, by your Spirit, lead us this week, and should you tarry, and we know the time is short, but should you tarry, bring us back together again so that we can fellowship together, study the Word together, and just rejoice in the grace in which we stand. Thank you for everything you do in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll pick up there next week, Lord willing.
Thank you, Bill.